Welcome to Good News from the Good Book with Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church, located in Kinross, Michigan. Stay with us for the next 30 minutes as we bring you a message from God's Word.
And it's hot, and God is going to bless this morning. Luke and chapter 11. Turn there if you would. Luke and chapter 11. I want to preach on what's missing. And it is. It's missing. How old is Bo now? Josh, where you at? Pastor Josh?
Six.
Six? I think it was 2 years ago. He was out at camp, and I remember walking out of the dining hall, and he was doing one of these. And Bo hasn't changed much in the last 2 years. So picture him about 4 years of age, probably just about as big as he is right now. 4 years of age. And I walked out of the dining hall. He's doing this. And I thought, man, what are you doing there? He said, I'm warming up the toads. I said, what? And he opened his hand and had a toad in there and he was warming them up. You're like that. And I'll bet you, now we're right going to the teen camp right now. Bo hasn't changed much. So, it might be, I'm sure that right now there's a lot of one-eyed, three-legged toads out there praying, oh, don't let that boy come back this week. Don't let him come back. We do covet your prayers concerning camp. This is going to be a great battle this week. It's teen week. There are strongholds that only God, the Holy Spirit, can overcome. And I want to encourage you this morning as a church to get involved in prayer. That's kind of, that's the message. The church is recession proof if you're worried about the future. Your family is recession proof. It really is. If you'll find this place called the prayer closet. I want you to know, I'm not telling you you'll always have money. I'm not telling you you'll always have extra money. I'm not saying that, but I am telling you this. God will always meet your need. And God will help you and your family and the church every step of the way. I'm praying this morning that we'll get challenged. Luke and chapter 11. Stand with me one more time. Let me read a couple of verses. And then we're going to pray. And then I'll get to the service, the preaching here this morning. And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place. And know this, Jesus was always praying. As he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples. Father, we come to you this morning, and if there's an area that is missing in the church of Jesus Christ today, it's the area of prayer. It's because of the busyness of life. It's because of what we try to pack into a day and you get squeezed out. God, it's because of our not being attentive to spiritual things. I pray this morning you get a hold of every child of God, and this morning prayer closets would be started again. Prayer meeting would be increased in attendance again. And Father, that you would work in our lives, and God, just help us to understand there's so much for us to have if we would just ask. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I want to preach this morning on the secret sauce of New Testament Christianity. There are two things that are missing, I believe, in the Church of Jesus Christ today. And one I'm not preaching this morning. That one is repentance. That's another sermon, another time. The other thing is prayer. It is sadly neglected. It is the hardest discipline of the Christian life. For those that are the can-do kind of people, it's like we get up in the morning and we hit the ground with our feet running and we don't have time for prayer, and that is a great mistake. It might be that you're standing, you're sitting, you're with us here this morning and you're thinking, man, something's missing. Something is not right. I attend church. I read my Bible. I testify. I try to be at church whenever I can, but something is missing. And if you've already taken care of repentance, and I trust you have, that something might be prayer. You're not communicating with God. You're not worshiping God, you're not walking with God, and therefore there is a void in your life, and you're just getting whatever comes your way. Instead, in Jesus, and James said, "Past the pastor of Jerusalem, ye have not because ye ask not." That's speaking of prayer, and I just believe there's so much that God wants for you personally, and for your family, and for this church. And we're going to get to heaven, we're going to find out we didn't get it because we didn't ask. D.L. Moody used to tell that story of the man that died and went to heaven, and he saw all the splendors and all the glory and the river flowing from the throne of God and the tree of life and the streets of gold and all the music, and it just took his breath away, and the angel took him into a great building, a great hall, and it was as far as beyond his sight as he could see. That building was filled with just good gifts and blessings and things that were just, there's so many they couldn't be numbered. And he said to the angel, "Sir, what are all these?" And he said, "Those are the things your heavenly Father planned on giving, but nobody asked." Prayer closet. Is it gone? Before this message is through this morning, I'm asking God that he would convict you personally to have a prayer closet. Daniel prayed 3 times a day. David prayed 3 times a day. There needs to be a place, a scheduled time, where we get alone with God and we ask the great God of heaven for great things here in this world. There needs to be a place where everything else, cell phone is turned off and TV is turned off, computers turned off, everything, all the distractions are gone, and it's you and God. So important as a child of God. And I'm just saying this, there aren't a lot of prayer closets anymore. And here we need them more than ever. You know the church service that's the least attended? Prayer meeting. Because it's about giving. It's about going to God on behalf of others. It's hard work. It takes discipline of mind. When we go to God and God hears us. The quantity of prayer. We're to pray always. Philippians chapter 3. We're to pray without ceasing. Book of Thessalonians. So the quantity is important. The quality is important. That's why I'm preaching what I'm preaching this morning. Go again to Luke chapter 11. We're going to stay right there and trust that God is going to bless your heart as we work our way through this. Last week I preached on really the Lord's Prayer, John chapter 17. This week I'm going to preach on how to pray, what Jesus taught his disciples. Because here's what happened. He's there on the mountain. He's praying. They're seeing the Son of God communing with God the Father. They know that great things are happening. They see Jesus praying regularly to his heavenly Father. And they know there's a great need in their life. And they say, "Lord, teach us to pray." And this is what he says. Let me read verse 1 and get right to verse 2. "And it came to pass that as he was praying in a certain place, when he ceased, one of his disciples said unto him, 'Lord, teach us to pray.'" Just some side thoughts here. They didn't interrupt Jesus' prayer when he had ceased. You know why? Something holy was going on there. They knew it. And when he had ceased, they said, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John also taught his disciples." And he said unto them, here's what he said. This is just a model prayer is what it is. We're going to analyze it. We're going to go beyond it, several verses, and see the overall picture of prayer. But we'll spend just a little bit of time here this morning analyzing this thing called prayer, this model prayer. Because understand, prayer is important. There is an event. When it happens, it excites the angels of God. The heavenly grandstand takes notice. And the mighty God of heaven seated on his throne takes note as well. The devil's face turns pale. The demons of hell cower in corners. When the weakest saint of God gets on his knees, amen, it's serious. Let me ask you this question. This isn't into the scripture yet, but when's the last time you had a prayer closet time? When's the last time you knelt by your bed in prayer? When's the last time you were so close to God in the presence of God because of our great high priest, where you were afraid to open your eyes because you were afraid Jesus was standing right there? That's real Bible praying. That's not emotional stuff. That's praying Bible truths. When's the last time you communed with God like that? Jesus said in verse 2, "When ye pray, Say, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Holy. Enter in the presence of God. That's not the pray without ceasing kind of prayer. That's not the prayer where you can, you know, you can pray while you're multitasking and you're just kind of shooting prayers out to heaven. That's good. That's what it says. Meet, pray without ceasing. You got to have the attitude of prayer all the time. Walk in prayer. But there's got to be a prayer closet time when God has your attention and you have God's attention and you are ushered into the presence of a holy God. Go to Isaiah chapter 6. You know the passage. Isaiah and chapter 6. Our prayers often reveal how inadequate our view of God is. An old lady, I remember an old lady saying this, I've never gotten over it. She said, sometimes we pray too small because we think God is small. God is holy. And by the way, before I read this, Isaiah 6, just a few verses, I don't know how it happened. Listen to what the preacher is saying right now. I don't know how it happened, but somehow we have come to the place where we think God works for us. That is just the opposite. We think God works for us. And we can just flippantly send out commands and ask and send out petitions and not spend any time with God at all. And you know it's like you're commanding a dog. God does not work for us. He is a holy God. Look what the prophet said here in Isaiah in chapter 6. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings, and twain he covered his face, and with twain he covered his feet, and with twain he did fly. Just seeing an angel of God, you'd fall flat on your face. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. It's like they're echoing one another all around the throne. And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried. And the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone. Because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. For mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. It sounds over the top, I know, but it's not. There's a God in heaven that is hallowed. He is holy. He deserves to have my attention in a prayer closet. By prayer closet, let me define that, by the way. It isn't necessarily a closet. That's not what it is, but it's a private place. Uninterrupted. Even Jesus, they didn't ask him anything until he ceased from prayer. And it was like they're off in a distance, hushed, as the Son of God was communing with God the Father. They were so impressed, they said, Jesus, teach us to pray. He said, here's how you do it. Our Father which art in heaven, first of all, make sure you're saved. You have a heavenly Father. You're born again. Hallowed be thy name. He's not grandpa upstairs. He doesn't work for us. You come to God with the proper attitude and in the righteousness of Christ, it'll change your prayer time. Here's how it is when you pray, just like when you're reading your Bible. Time gets away from you. Before long, 20 minutes has gone by. Half hour's gone by. And then you think of something where you kind of come back to the earth and the president, whoa, man, I've been praying a long time. Yeah, that's the way a prayer closet is supposed to be. I'm going to tell you more about that in just a minute. First of all, he said, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done as in heaven, so in earth. And that is the program of God. The purpose of why we are here. We are part of a big, blessed family of God. We are here as the Church of Jesus Christ to carry the light. And if you were here on Wednesday night, you found out that the Word of God, the Bible, that is that light until Jesus comes. We're to carry the Word of God. We're to carry that light until the return of Christ. That's our job as the Church of Jesus Christ. And God is not willing that any should perish, 2 Peter 3:9, but that all should come to repentance. It is the will of God, Luke in chapter 14, that the Church of Jesus Christ would thrive. Wonderful crowd here this morning, but that it would thrive and thrive spiritually. That there would be meat in the storehouse and that all would be surrendered to the will of God for their lives. Romans in chapter 12. Now here's where it's going to happen. Here's the secret sauce. You're born again. You love the Lord. You're reading your Bible. You're coming to church. By the way, reading the Bible is easy. Man, it just like it just keeps getting blessed and blessed and blessed. And you keep reading and your faith increases and time does fly by. Reading the Bible, I hope you're reading through the New Testament like you've been challenged to do for the entire summer months, all right? But reading the Bible, that's easy. You're doing all of those things. You're going to church. But you're not asking God for anything. You're just hoping some things happen. You don't have any prayer closet. You're a grandparent and you don't pray for your grandchildren. Shame on you. Will you bring their name before the throne of God as individuals and asking on their behalf for God's best and God's blessing? You're a young parent and you're working a lot, and God bless you people. You work all week long and you come to church. I know that. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. But if you're not going to the throne of God, if you're too busy for a prayer closet, you're too busy. You can make time. You've got to schedule it. Come to that in just a moment. Hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in heaven, so on earth. Give us day by day our daily bread. He said, listen, you pray and you ask God for daily provisions. He will meet your need all of the time. We have unlimited resources. That's the hand of God. Unlimited resources. We have a rest, book of Hebrews, that the world knows nothing of. His name is Jesus. And we have a tool, a resource called prayer. God invites us to intimacy. We're to enter into his holy presence and ask God for great things. And the truth is, it's just not being done. It's the missing ingredient. We got programs. We got music. We got busyness. We got plans. We got workers. We sweat and we give great effort, but nobody's praying. If revival's ever going to come to America, if my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray, we're going to have to ask. Someone's going to get desperate. Someone's going to make it number one priority. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done as in heaven, so on earth. Give us this day, or give us day by day our daily bread. And forgive us our sins, for we shall forgive everyone that is indebted to us. He said, here's how you got to pray. You be a forgiving people, for God has forgiven you. You realize the grace of God in your own life, and you just ask God for forgiveness, and then you forgive every brother. You don't hold any grudges, because Jesus does. Aren't you glad God doesn't hold any grudges? Amen. Have you ever stuck it in the face of God with your flesh? Man, we all have. Aren't you glad he doesn't hold any grudges? And you came to him, and you asked for forgiveness, and he forgave you and took your sin as far as the east is from the west. That's the God of heaven. He said, when you pray, fellas, here's the secret sauce. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, as in heaven, so on earth. Give us day by day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins. Confess your sins. Confess your sins. For we also will forgive everyone that is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Not only we got the pardon of God, but he said we need the pathway of God. The pathway of righteousness. You pray to God and ask God for direction. I promise you this, knowing the God of heaven, with a little bit of discernment, a little bit of Bible knowledge, I promise you this, and it's a fact. God will not lead you one inch toward the world. God will not lead you one inch towards sin. That is not the God of the... And we need to recognize that, acknowledge it, and pray and say, God, help me. Deliver me from evil. Lead me not into unrighteousness. God, don't let me go there in the flesh. All we like sheep have gone astray and have turned everyone unto his own way. Jesus on the mountain, he's there praying. He just got through ministering. Now he's communing with God the Father. His disciples are watching in hushed silence. He gets up off his knees and they say, Jesus, teach us to pray. We want to know how to do that. We want to enter into the presence of God. Last couple of verses. And he said unto them, verse 4, and forgive us our sins, for we also forgive everyone that is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And now he's going to go on, he's going to say several things here, and I'm going to summarize because I'm quickly running out of time, but they're big truths. He says in verses 5 through 8, don't quit praying. Don't quit praying. When's the last time you had answered prayer? I mean, you could say, because it was secret prayer between you and God, God answered my prayer. When's the last time that happened? Listen to what Jesus says here in verse 5. He said unto them, which of you shall have a friend and shall go unto him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves. For a friend of mine is in his journey and has come to me, and I have nothing set before him. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. The door is now shut. My children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give thee. It's the middle of the night. Then I say unto you, though he will not rise and give him because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. Shameless perseverance. Don't quit praying. If you believe that God, it is God's will for something in your life or in the life of one of your children or the life of some of the brethren, if the prayer answer hasn't come yet, shameless perseverance. Don't quit praying. That's a form of faith. I know it's the will of God. And I'll keep on, and it's not anti-Bible, and it's not against the scripture, so I'm going to keep on, for instance, the salvation of a soul. You might pray for them 20 years and they've not been born again, but they get saved on the 21st year. What if you'd have quit in year 10? Don't quit praying. This is what Jesus said. Here's how you pray, our Father which art in heaven, but don't quit praying. And then he says something else. God answers prayer. Verse 9, and I say unto you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. For everyone that asketh receiveth, and he that seeketh findeth, and to him that knocketh it shall be opened. Now, you know I'm a King James man. You know I'm a Textus Receptus guy. I believe that God has preserved his word. But, you know, the Greek and the TR, corrupted text, but in the Textus Receptus, the Greek word there for ask and seek and knock, it is in the tense where you keep on asking, will you keep on seeking, will you knock, not one time, but you keep on knocking, and you keep on knocking, and God answers prayer. That's what he says. God will hear you. Don't quit praying. God will answer your prayer. And then verse 13, if ye then being evil know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? God will meet your need in himself. There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God that the world knows nothing of. We have an instrument with that is connected to the God of unlimited resources called prayer, if we just get serious about it. Be not anxious. Be anxious for nothing, the scripture says. But in everything, let your prayer and your supplication, your requests, be made known unto God. Too many of us, we spend all our time worrying and no time praying. We have good desires and good hopes, but there's no prayer closet. Prayer meeting, not important. Throne of God, prayer closet, not important. And I'm telling you, our priorities are wrong. There's something missing, and it's missing. It's called prayer. What a God we serve. A.J. Gordon was a preacher years gone by, great preacher. He was standing at the Niagara Falls right early in the 1900s. He was with another preacher friend. The other preacher friend there watching, I've never been to the Niagara Falls. I've been to the Tequamenon Falls. Yeah, it's thundering, you know. But they're standing there and they're watching all that water come over the Niagara Falls and thunder into the waters below and the mist rise. And you couldn't even hear yourself talk because of the thundering. And the visiting preacher said something to the effect of, that has to be the greatest source of energy, unused energy in the world today. And A.J. Gordon looked at him and said, no, sir. The greatest unused source of power in the world today is prayer. And if it was true in his day, it's even more true now. Entertain me. Fill the void in my life with noise, activity, busyness, and life is barren if we just take a little time for prayer. I want to challenge you this morning. Get a prayer closet. Schedule a time. Meet with God. He'll be there waiting for you. Maybe early in the morning. Maybe late at night. Maybe your schedule is so that you do it midday. Early in the morning is best for me. Meet with God. Come to prayer meeting. This tickles me when I think about it. Wouldn't it be great if prayer meeting was the best attended service of the church? I'm telling you what, this peninsula would change. That many people serious about it. Say, preacher, how do I pray? I heard what you said. I read what Jesus said here in Luke in chapter 11. Here's how I pray. I'll simplify it for you. It's an acronym. It's the word ACTS, like the book of Acts, A-C-T-S. Number one, and it happens every time I get with God, every time. This is when I get ready for serious prayer, when it's my prayer closet, I'm not just driving down the road or I'm not, just kind of shooting a prayer off into the heavens. When it's serious time, here's what I do. Acts, the letter A, adoration. I give God his glory. I thank God for being merciful. I thank God for being full of grace. He never tires of hearing that because that helps get my perspective right as well. God, thank you for being good to me. God, thank you for your blessings. Thank you that you're immutable and you've never changed and you're always there whenever I need you. Oh, God, thank you for your grace in my life. Where would I be without your mercy? Thank you, God, for your mercy. First, it's adoration. It's a time of worship. Second, letter C, confession. Going to do business with God. I'm going to confess my sins. I'm not going to come to God pretending I'm right and asking for things when I'm a disobedient child of God. He's not obligated to hear any of that kind of praying. So I confess my sins. I name them. I name them generally. If I remember specifics, I name them specifically. And then I cover it by God. I just take care of all my sins I'm not even thinking about. I didn't even know I was sinning. I'm that bad. I didn't even know I was sinning. And I was sinning and I grieved the Spirit of God. And then after the letter C, it's the letter T. Thanksgiving. And I just thank him for being the God he is and his goodness and answered prayer. And then the letter S, supplication. That's when I ask for things. You could throw intercession in the supplications as well, where I'm praying for other people. The word acts, A-C-T-S, adoration, confession, thanksgiving, supplication. That's my prayer closet. That's the outline to everything I pray. And it's interesting, sometimes it takes me a long time to get off of A. Even though I got a big burden on my heart and I can't wait to get down to it, I just start getting in tune, man. I just understand who he is, I how good he is to me, all the blessings, what he's done for me. And I confess my sin, I know how bad I am, and I'm just thankful. And then I start interceding and start supplicating and asking God for great things. Biggest step forward Fundamental Baptist Church could possibly take this summer is for prayer closets to be springing up all over this church. It might be a literal closet. It could be. It could be in your backyard under a tree. It might be in the dark out the side door of your house. But you schedule it and you spend there with time with God. Our God is omnipotent. All that's happening in the world today, he could change it like that. Someone has to ask. And you always pray in the will of God. I'm sorry I didn't get this in the message, but God's not going to do something inconsistent with what his will is. That's praying in the name of Christ. You accept that along the way. There are some things we know is the will of God. Salvation of souls. Revival. Church thriving. Now, we always know that's the will of God. It isn't always the will of God to heal somebody, but we can pray for that end and ask God for his best. I wonder how many prayer closets, if we stood before God today, how many of us, we would find out as a church congregation how many prayer closets are actually in operation right now in this ministry. I'm telling you, it's the secret sauce of the New Testament church.
Thank you for listening to Good News from the Good Book, broadcast under the direction of Dr. Tim Rader, Senior Pastor at the Fundamental Baptist Church in Kinross, Michigan. For more information, please visit our website at fbconline.net. We invite you to stay tuned for the next broadcast when Dr. Tim Rader will bring you Good News from the Good Book.